Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the Steve Jones Show. Steve will be joining us from the Sunbury Motors Studio in just a few moments. Friday on the program, we talked about the predictions for the coming week. And I was not prepared for that. I'm going to admit, I was not prepared for that. But the one I said toward the end of the program was that the Phillies would score in the first couple of innings over the weekend. And they did it not only once, but they did it twice. And then shut out and swept the Yankees in the process on Sunday. So I just have to enjoy this moment while it lasts, because it's not often that I'm right for more than 30 seconds. All right, it's not often that I'm right, period. So I'm going to enjoy this moment for just a short amount of time. And listen, I have not seen the second IndyCar race. So the other prediction was there were going to be a lot of passing, and it was going to be an exciting IndyCar race. First one, not only was exciting, but it was kind of scary at the same time. A red flag. It was a problem with a stuck accelerator and went right into the tire barrier. It actually took the cement rail and knocked it over. They had to actually red flag it for about 45 minutes to an hour to put the new rail in, the new cement rail, and get everything back going. But I have not seen the second race yet. I do have an idea who won because I accidentally saw it in an email. That's the bad thing when you're trying to watch something that you've recorded and you're trying to stay away from all the information you possibly can of who won so you could kind of experience it, you know, the way you would if you were live. And then you're scanning through your email and you're like, oh, and it's in the subject line. I mean, can't you just put in the subject line, here's the winner of the race, and then not say who it is?
Oh, no.
But no, it's in the subject line.
Oh, no. Where's the other guy?
He's coming in a few minutes.
Where's the other guy?
I'm just here to get you all cranked up.
Oh, you're talking about guys going around.
Not around in a circle today.
Nobody watched the race.
Well, actually, what I started with was one of my predictions for the future headline of the week came true. On Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, you resigned?
No. That's what you were hoping for, but we can see that didn't work. No, the Phillies scored in the first innings again, in the first couple innings, both days.
Well, they took the Yankees apart. The Yankees are really reeling right now.
I'll tell you what, that is not a good team in any way, shape, or form. Fundamentally, fielding, I mean, they're pressing at the plate. They did not look good.
Yeah, in the field, they're not very good. How they run the bases. I mean, they are a station-to-station baseball team. They lack aggressiveness. And part of that is maybe it's personnel. Part of it also, to be honest with you, is Aaron Boone. You've got to be able to – you cannot be so married – when they hired him, when they got rid of Joe Girardi and they hired him, it's because the Yankees wanted a more analytics approach to the game, right? I mean, they were very open about that. Boone knew that. Boone went in right away when he interviewed for it. You know, I mean, you know, he earned the job. But he earned the job in part because when he sat down to interview, he talked about the analytics approach to playing the game. Well, there's certain elements of analytics that don't fit, and one of them is, for example, let's talk about the ability to steal a base, the ability to hit and run. That's not in the analytics book. Now, I know they just lost yesterday 18-2 and stunk the joint out, But look at how Alex Cora manages. They'll hit and run. They'll steal bases. He's aggressive. He's moving runners on counts. So he takes, now, sure, there are certain parts of analytics that are used by every ball club. There should be. But there's also ways of winning. And Aaron Boone is not flexible enough in his approach to do it that way. Not flexible enough. So why you look at like what Joe Maddon does, the Angels manager, and of course he did this with the Cubs. But Joe Maddon certainly used analytics with how he did certain things, but he also has shown some flexibility. He's been clever with a few things that he's done. Where's Aaron Boone clever? It's kind of like your staff meetings. Where are they clever?
Listen, I sat next to a couple of Yankee fans that moved to Philadelphia. They had their Yankee garb on, and it was a father-son, so it was a Father's Day event, and for them as well. He came down from the son came down from Binghamton. The father is from Philly, and they decided to go to the game. And we were talking back and forth during the game, and he said, "This team is just frustrating to watch." And he said, "We get some of these guys that are now Phillies," and he said, "They're doing damage." You know, yeah. And of course, one of the guys he was talking about is somebody who didn't play yesterday was Gregorius. But these are right. The kind of guys you want in the clubhouse too.
See, and I was very high on the Phillies getting D.D. Gregorius, as you know, very high on it. And I was one of those. I looked at it with the Yankees. I thought, what the heck? Well, why are you losing this guy?
And they were talking about Chiraeus too.
Right. Now, since you're here, Brisbane is going to get the Olympics. They got endorsed today. But what does it tell you that once again they got the Olympics and there was no other competition for it?
I was just going to say, I don't think there was anybody else in the running, was there?
No.
Well, that's a twofold thing. You know, and you've talked about it for years, and I'm willing to concede the fact that it economically is a nightmare for the country hosting it and the city hosting it, because unless you have venues already built that you can use.
Right.
And post-COVID, there are a lot of these countries that just haven't recovered yet from that situation to be able to get ready in a couple of years and have an Olympics.
Yeah. It is... Look, the money part is a huge part because, all right, so it's 2032. So that means that they are getting an Olympic Games 11 years ahead of time in Brisbane. So when do you start building your Olympic Village? When do you start building your Olympic Stadium? When do you start building your velodrome? You know, all these elements you have to have, your Olympic swimming pool. When do you start building all this? What do you already have in place? I mean, I'm going to guess Brisbane doesn't have a lot in place.
I wouldn't think so.
I mean, now, they probably have a stadium where they play Australian rules football in there. You know, they probably have something like that. I mean, for example, when Calgary hosted the Winter Olympics in 1988, the Olympic Stadium was McMahon Stadium, where the Calgary Stampeders play. All right, so they didn't have to do anything to that, okay? You know, that's where they could have the opening and closing ceremony. Okay. And so you may have something like that, but at the Summer Games, that Olympic Stadium has to have a track in it. It has to be used for track and field. It can't be used for Australian rules football. So it's 11 years out. So here's my point in the 11 years. What costs a certain amount today when you put the bid in, and I know you're trying to guess in your bid as to what it's going to cost then, nobody ever hits the mark.
I don't think there's been any country in what, maybe 50 years that have made a profit?
I think Los Angeles in 84 did.
Did they make a profit in 84? Well, maybe it was because of their red, white, and blue cable channels.
Well, no.
They were the first to do that.
No, it was Peter Uberoth came in.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And Peter Uberoth started selling the rights to everything under the sun. The red, white, and blue was 92.
I was thinking, I would thought that happened in 84, but maybe you're right. I was thinking for some reason.
It was 92 because I'd started working at another station in 90, and they gave me, as part of the thing, the red, white, and blue channels in 92, you know, to promote. 84, Peter Uberoth came in, and he started selling everything. And they were able to take an absolute losing proposition, and they turned it into a winning formula. The problem is, over time, you would think that that formula would hold and hold and hold. And they're still selling left and right, but they can't keep up with the cost of everything. A major problem, is, of course, is always going to be inflation. It always is going to be. So in 2032, or let's just be conservative here. Let's say by the end of 2030, a year and a half before the games are going to be played, you have almost everything done. Well, how much is everything in 9 years going to cost? Materials. I mean, look at now. Look how much lumber costs now compared to 6 months ago. Look how much gas costs now compared to 6 months ago. I mean, just since January 20th, everything, I mean, inflation has gone through the roof in this country. I haven't seen it really since the 70s. And that is something, for example, Rio de Janeiro. Brazil has always had a major inflation problem. Always has. For whatever reason, don't look at me. I have no idea why Brazil has always had a problem with inflation, but they have. Well, there's no way in the planet when they host an Olympic Games at Rio de Janeiro, it's not going to cost exponentially more than what they bid for or what they thought it was going to be. Because Brazil has a big inflation problem. Now, does Australia? No clue. But you're going to have to guess that whatever they think it's going to cost today and what they guess it's going to cost in 9 years, and it's a guess, the number still isn't going to be right.
See, I always thought the easy solution was to go back to these cities that already have the venues built every X amount of years. So, but here, you're looking at the last time that Australia hosted an Olympics was 2000. Those buildings are not going to be really... Are those buildings going to be able to be used again if they went back to Sydney?
I did the Sweet 16 in the Georgia Dome. Okay? The Georgia Dome was thought to be a really great new building, right? Georgia Dome today is a parking lot. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Photos. I mean, I'm sorry. When you look back at everything, you're seeing more and more facilities become obsolete. Veterans Stadium became obsolete. Three Rivers became obsolete. Yankee Stadium, how many times, you know, they redid it, and then they built a new one. Over and over and over again, you're getting places that become obsolete, and they seem to be becoming obsolete quicker than ever. So, Olympic venues, definitely.
Well, keep in mind, these Olympic venues are probably being built by the lowest bidder, too, so... So, you know, there might be some shortcuts.
That is always the greatest line in the movie Armageddon.
Right.
When they're sitting on the rocket and Steve Buscemi looks at everybody and says, they want to bring this up, but you do know we're sitting on something that's about to explode that was all built by the lowest bidder.
Exactly.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back with more in a moment. It's great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
If you own an RV, you know your home on wheels needs the same protection as your actual home. Hi, this is Season from Purdy Insurance. Whether you hit the road for a weekend or a few months, Purdy Insurance can cover all of your recreational vehicles, from RVs, ATVs, and side-by-sides to motorcycles and golf carts, offering you great coverage at the best price. Call Purdy Insurance at 570-286-5855 or request a quote online at purdyinsurance.com and see what we can do for you.
Welcome to an empty Olympic Stadium here in Tokyo.
You have to admit, though, John Williams has the best music for these things.
Oh, John Williams does a great job. Great job. Fabulous.
I mean, that's right. Olympic fanfare. What was the other one he did? Summon the Heroes. That's my favorite. And that's your Classic Music Minute.
I just like when they point to me and they talk. All right. Major League Baseball. Who's running this thing? I mean, seriously, who runs this? They've made another interesting free streaming move, including 21 games exclusively on YouTube this year. The Phillies-Giants series. Yes, your beloved Phillies will be broadcast free nationwide on Peacock and will feature a combined announcing group combining both teams. These games can be seen on the Peacock free tier nationwide. They'll be available on MLB TV to out-of-market viewers, but they will not be on the team's normal regional sports networks. Who runs this thing?
Well, and tonight's series with the Dodgers, all three games are on MLB Network. Does that mean that if you have MLB Network in the NBC Sports Philly area, they're blacked out? I mean, how does that work?
I think you still get the game tonight. MLB Network does not supersede.
No, I meant does MLB Network's version get blacked out? That's what I meant.
Yes, they do.
That's what I wondered.
They get blacked out. Major League Baseball and Peacock today announced the Phillies-Giants three-game series 18-19-20 will be presented on Peacock nationwide during Father's Day weekend. Fans everywhere in the U.S. can watch Buster Posey, Brandon Crawford, and the first-place Giants host Bryce Harper, Andrew McCutcheon, and the Phillies for free. Sign up for Peacock app. Won't do it. The weekend series on Peacock combines the announcing teams. John Miller, Mike Kruko, John Kruk, Jimmy Rollins live from Oracle Park. Blah, 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 blah. You cannot see the game, though, on your normal Phillies outlet. Who sits down in New York and says, I've got a great idea, and as other people go, hey, great. Does anybody sit up and go, no, this is stupid? Okay, we're having trouble to begin with. We don't need more trouble doing this by playing a streaming game. By the way, Peacock is also doing a Summer Olympics. Huh? You're excited?
I already have my subscription, but the free one anyway.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, bundles. They'll do everything they can to save you money and make sure you're fully insured. It is all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com.
Hey, buddy.
Mr. Lawrence, my good friend Mark Lawrence.
How are you, my friend? No, long time no see.
Long time no see. Hopefully I'll get a chance to see you when August 4th rolls around. And
oh,
I go
yeah.
for the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Get a chance to sit there and have a couple of beverages, exchange a few laughs like we always do.
I plan to have the tallest diet soda they have there.
You and me both. You know that. You and me both. That's, yeah, that's what we're both about the same when it comes to that deal. We're both about that way. Oh, my goodness. But, yeah, it's interesting over the years. You know, Mark works the morning, mm-hmm. and, of course, I'm in the afternoon. Now, I would think it's safe to say that in a lot of ways we're different personalities, right?
Okay.
It's in some ways, we're like best of friends. We get along great. I enjoy every second I'm around him. So we always have a good time. We talk to each other.
Probably as long as we don't see each other too often, that might be a factor. Who knows?
That's not a factor. No. The bottom line is I don't see you enough. How about that?
Well, amen. And I listen to your show all the time, and I yell at the radio. I just never think of calling in because you would turn my arguments into nothing in a big hurry. So
No. you make, you know, I hear your show enough, and you make really well thought out arguments. So.
Hey, I play a liberal on the radio, so
I play a sportscaster on the radio.
Well, there's a big difference between your sportscasting and me liberalizing.
Nah, you do yours really well. I hang in and do my deal. So, yeah. Hey, by the way, Football Morning in America is a column on NBCSports.com. I would encourage people to check it out today on NBCSports.com because today Peter King, who it's his column, but when Peter goes on vacation and he and Ann go traveling and have a great time and get to see their daughters and grandchildren and so forth, he'll farm out the column to a guest each week. And it turns out that today's guest columnist is former Penn State wide receiver Chris Godwin.
Oh, wow.
Who won a Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers this year, playing on the same team with Tom Brady, and by the way, also A.Q. Shipley and Donovan Smith, two other former Nittany Lions. But Football Morning in America, it's a really, I encourage you to read it. Mark, there's a lot in there that you talk about how you play the liberal on the radio and so forth. There's some social commentary in there from Chris Godwin that I think would be well worth you reading, which I think he is written beautifully by him. I think you'd really appreciate it.
Well, great. I will give it a look-see. And I just think if there's one thing that I've enjoyed from doing the talk show, it's the fact that there is such a rich fabric of opinions and people who feel strongly about issues and people who know for sure what they know for sure. And common sense views and reason, people using reason in an unconventional way that really works and really contributes. I know I've sort of taken the position on the show that our republic's going to collapse if we don't come back together again. But the fact is, you know, in my heart of hearts, I know that's not true because the people that are making the decisions know how to, you know, to accept this kind of division.
Well, but let me make a point about that. And I said this back on January 20th, so I'll just quickly revisit it. And I brought the column up here because I want to read you one section where I think would really intrigue you, okay? And I'll get to that in a second. To me, it is how do we treat each other? Okay? How do we treat each other? You know, are you the type of person that somebody's in the parking lot, elderly man? I'll give you an example. This is back in the wintertime. And I pull in, And he's standing there, and I said, "Are you okay?" And he says, "No." He says, my car won't start." He says, "Not quite sure what to do." Now, at this point, do you think I asked him, "Did you vote for Trump or did you vote for Biden?" I mean that in all sincerity. Of course I didn't ask that. I said, "How can I help?" Turned out I had jumper cables. I jumped the car. Okay? Now, why? You know, because he needed it. He needed the help. Who cares how he feels about life? I don't care how he feels about life. He needed help. Hey, that's who we are, in my opinion, as a society. Right? We're going to do the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament coming up August 4th. You're going to come out. Mm-hmm. I'll be playing in it. And guess what? We're trying to benefit the greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. The Y is a great place for people to go to. The Y is a great people for young people. Do we care who voted for who? No. We care about helping out somebody else and having some laughs and coming together. It's about how we treat each other, Mark. Okay? You can't divide people who are willing to treat each other well. I don't care what other people's opinions are. Now, I'm in the candy store jobs. I mean, do our opinions really matter as to whether there's a 12-team playoff in college football? No, but as part of the show, we're going to go and talk about what we think is right and wrong about a 12-team playoff because it's the candy store. We could talk about stuff like that, okay? It's not as serious as the issues that you guys talk about, not even close. But to me, it is all about how do we treat each other. It doesn't matter who you voted for. Okay, you don't have to sit there and be like-minded. I will only like you if we're like-minded. If you're a cool guy and we have some laughs, we disagree. Who cares? We disagree. It doesn't matter. That's how I look at things.
Well, I spoke to a doctor last week who said, you know, I don't take out Republican or Democratic kidneys. You know,
right.
Anybody
yes.
who needs help comes through the door.
Yes. Now, let me read this from Chris Godwin here. In the column every week, Peter King will put 10 things I think. Okay? And Chris Godwin, all right? This is what he wrote. I'll give you three of them right here. One, I think as a society we need to do a much better job of communicating. It's important not only to be able to have tough conversations with people you love, people that may have the same ideology as you, but also be able to have civil discourse with people that have opposing thoughts to yours. It's hard to find a compromise on any issue if you aren't willing to actually listen to what the other side has to say. That's what he wrote. Two, I think basic human rights and common courtesies should not be political issues. Well, how do you argue with that?
Well, right? he's wrong.
Yeah, I knew you'd think so, right? And let's see, six, I think it's amazing that over 7 billion people live individual lives and for brief moments at a time in the grand scheme, some of our lives intersect and we have this joint experience. It's just crazy to think about all of the things that have to happen in order for you and someone else's life to intersect. Well, my life obviously is intersected with them. I've dealt with Chris Godwin who knows how many times. I always used to kid him all the time about him going around in the hoverboard. And he'd go on the hoverboard all through Lash Building all the time. And of course he did. He said, "Steve, I got to save my legs." I said, "Yeah, that's why I drive a car." I said, "But he's a great guy. He's a great guy. It's how we treat each other, right? You have a difference of opinion. Who cares?"
Well, and I think part of this has to do with, you mentioned the communication. People have to go back to think, okay, well, what is communication? That's when I talk and someone hears. No, that is part of communication. But a big part of communication is active listening, actually listening and not just saying, okay, I heard what you said, but, you know, I feel this way or you're wrong or you have to feel that way. Empathetically listen to folks and say, well, where are they coming from? Why do they feel that way? And why is it that I can look at the same issue and someone else sees it completely differently and is as convinced as me that, you know, Joe Biden should have been the president or Joe Biden should not have been the president? How can we all look at all the same facts? So to learn how to listen in such a manner that you really hear other people. I know you listen to the show sometimes on Q on the tie line here because you comment about it. Well, I always make fun that Joe has these Fox funnels on he's conservative, so he watches Fox News some of the time. Right. And those funnels do two things. One, they prevent you from hearing MSNBC or anything else. But I always kid that they prevent Joe from actually hearing other perspectives and hearing empathetically what maybe I would be saying. So, if we were talking about critical race theory, there is a reason some academician somewhere came up with a theory so that we could talk about maybe racism did tinge the development of the country in many ways. So why can't we talk about that? No. We can't talk about it at all. The cancel culture says, nope, you can't even discuss it. Race didn't tinge anything. It was just a factor in the South, and that's all there was to it. So, the funnels, a lot of people have a lot of funnels, and I do too. Bias is something everybody brings to the table. But I think people have to kind of train themselves that these things change the way we hear. It isn't just the fact that, okay, I listened to what you said. Remember, I have a bias, and so this is the way I hear it. I don't even hear it right. So when you call, a touchdown at a game, I hear it, but I think, I'm just mostly thinking about the defense on the other team. What went wrong? I just see things from their perspective. People just see things, they kind of filter out maybe the full picture sometimes.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because I know in the class that I teach at Penn State, which is sports broadcasting, I discuss with the students, and it's repeatedly in almost every section, about the ability to listen in the business. All right? Mm-hmm. And I say to them that when you're interviewing someone, you can't be so focused. And I understand young people would be focused on the next question because you're nervous. You're nervous. So you're thinking, okay, I've got to ask that next question. I said, but then you become comfortable, and then the key is to listen. Because the person being interviewed suddenly may say something that then takes the interview in a better direction with an entirely new line of questioning where the interview goes from good to spectacular instead of concentrating on the next one where you really miss what they were saying and the listener then loses out on maybe that perspective. Same thing in a game. When I'm broadcasting a game with Jack Ham or with Dick Girardi, I always tell them, yes, you're the play-by-play person, but part of what you're doing in the broadcast is you've got to be a good listener and not just the better talker. If you're a good listener and Jack Ham says something and it takes the entire broadcast in a better direction, I need to pick up on that. Dick Girardi says something. I need to pick up on that. So you have to be a good listener in interviews, and you also have to be a good listener in play-by-play to do what I just talked about. Doug in, I'm going to assume, is this Wellsboro? This is my man in Wellsboro? Dougie.
Oh, there you go. Go ahead.
Hey, Doug. Hello, Doug.
Oops, sorry. There we go. There we go. Now we got him. Go ahead, Doug.
Hi, Doug.
Hi, how are you, Steve?
Hey, Doug, how have you been? Great to hear you.
You too. I have a real quick question for you. I'm sure this is very easy. Who was the worst NBA ref, Ed Malloy or Tony Brothers?
Well, I think you can pick one. You can pick them both, can't you?
Have you watched any of these NBA playoff games?
Yeah.
Specifically the one yesterday?
Yeah, you're talking about the one with Jokic getting thrown out of the game in the third quarter?
That plus what P.J. Tucker was doing to Durant. We've been watching these playoffs on and off through the last month or so. There is no consistency. There's you can't touch the guy. You can't play defense, or it's an automatic foul. And this whole thing about throwing yourself into a guy or kicking your leg out or something like that, I mean, there's nobody can play defense in the NBA anymore. And these refs are terrible. There's no consistency.
Yeah, what they do now, let's just take a couple things. Flopping. Now let's talk about something good. The NBA took flopping out. So you go in, and all of a sudden the guy like, oh, and it looks like he got thrown like 20 yards. Well, they took that out because they fine you for it. Now, college basketball, they're going to put it in, but they can't fine you for it. And you're right. The kick out on the shot, that's you initiating contact. Right? One thing you have to be, when you officiate, call what you see. Do not call what you're guessing at. You have to call what you see. If you don't see it, you can't call it.
They're calling stuff that isn't happening. You're exactly right. If you see it, call it. But they're just anticipating a foul or anticipating something, and they're calling it automatically. I know they've done it for years like that. That's kind of how the game is played or the game is reffed. But these refs are just terrible.
And this is something, look, they're professionals, and they need to be better than that because there's a lot on the line for everybody. But that's always been my biggest problem. I have a lot of respect for officials because it's a very tough job. It's a very tough job. That's why you'll notice on broadcasts, you know, I'll look at something and I'll say, hey, look, that actually was a really good call. And I'll say it because I think it's the fair thing to do. But at the same time, Doug, I can't tolerate when they're guessing or anticipating. Only call what you see. Do not guess. Do not anticipate. That way, if you are questioned by the player or you are questioned by the coach, you can say, this is what I saw and why, instead of making it up as you go. And you can't make it up as you go.
Yeah. Second thing, please tell me Mike Yurcich has something in the works to surprise Wisconsin the opening day.
Mike Yurcich's offense, if executed right, has a chance to be diverse and dynamic.
It all comes down to Sean, though.
Sean, the last four games, threw 5 touchdowns, 1 interception. And I thought Sean had a really good spring. And I had a long talk with Sean after the last spring practice. I mean, long talk. I probably talked to him for like 15, 20 minutes, okay?
Yeah.
And I can tell you when I was done with the conversation, and I told Jack Ham this, I said, you know what? Because we talked about Mike, we talked about the offense, we talked about, you know, playing the game with pace. You know, these are some of the topics that we talked about. I mean, Doug, he's in a really good place. And that's why I told Jack. I said, he's in a really good place. Jack and I both got a chance to talk to him in the locker room after Jack gave the scholarship to Drew Hartlob. We were in the locker room for a while with the players. So we did have a chance to talk to him then, too. He's in a really good place. And I'll tell you, Mike's offense is, you feel like you're watching a mad scientist out there. It's actually kind of fun to watch, kind of cool to see at times. You know, and you're not going to throw everything out there in the first game, but I'm excited to see what he wants to do, and there's some very interesting stuff in there. How about that?
Yeah, it'll be interesting going against Jim Leonard. I mean, Leonard's probably looking at tapes from Oklahoma State, you know, Texas, that kind of stuff. So
that's the option he has. I think he has to look at some of Penn State because he has to watch personnel. So he has to, you know, what does Kevon Lee do? What does Sean do? You know, how do you defend Dotson? How do you defend Parker Washington? Okay. But then you're right. He has to look at Oklahoma State, and he's got to look at Texas. And he might even have to look at a little bit at Ohio State. Because, remember, Mike was at Ohio State in between Oklahoma State and Texas. He was there for 1 year.
Yeah, I know. Hey, last thing, is Kevin still there?
Now, Kevin went back to the office. We have Mark right now.
He's making the world safer administration right now. Don't bother him.
I read this indie summary this morning. This guy, this Joseph Newgarden, he led 67 of 70 laps or something like that. And he lost the lead in the last 3 laps. You said about no passing last week.
Yeah.
This guy led 67 of 70 laps and lost the race.
I mean, to do that, you just can't be good. I mean, can you imagine the suit getting passed on I-80? No, not even the state police have passed him on I-80.
All right, thanks, Steve. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Doug. Always a pleasure. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK.